We certainly are looking for that national background check legislation.
57% want stricter gun laws.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, the national conversation centers on guns. Well, we'll start today with my latest conversation with the mayor of Albany, Democrat Kathy Sheehan. Sheehan recently attended the U.S. Conference of Mayors gathering in Reno, Nevada, and she says gun control was one of the top issues across party lines.
Well, it is one of the topics that's been top of mind and discussed quite a bit, and I think that it is, says something about the state of our country when you have a bipartisan, nonpartisan group of mayors, you know, really almost in unanimous agreement that we need federal action to help our communities. We have communities that have strong gun control laws like New York State, common sense ways to make sure that guns don't get into the hands of the wrong people so that we can keep people safe. And then there are other places where the rules of the road are very different, and we need a strategy nationally to get these illegal guns off of our streets and to prevent them from continuing to flood our streets.
What specifically are you and the other mayors hoping Congress will do?
Well, we certainly are looking for that national background check legislation, closing the loopholes that New York State closed many years ago. And also, we know that red flag laws work, and so we want to see those happen nationally, because if you have somebody in a state that does not have red flag laws, they can get their hands on guns. We know that they can cross state lines. This is happening time and time again with these mass shootings, and we want to see these common sense rules of the road that help to prevent guns from getting into the hands of people who would do harm with them to be enacted nationally.
Are you hearing ideas or best practices from other local leaders about what people on the local level like you can do while awaiting federal action?
Well, look, we have to continue to do what we're doing to prevent crime. We have to continue to look at the demand side of the equation. Why are people choosing to pick up a gun, and focusing on the efforts that are already well underway in our community, such as violence interrupters, you know, really focusing on our program that we have that works with particularly young men and who are at risk of making decisions that might put them on the wrong path in life and trying to keep them on the right path in life. But we also need help in stopping the proliferation of guns getting into our communities.
What are some of the other top issues that have come up at this conference?
You know, we've really focused a lot on workforce and the need for continued focus on workforce development. All of our communities have businesses that are struggling to fill jobs and to find people. And we're really focusing on how do we move our communities forward. There's been a lot of talk about the toll on people's mental health and emotional health through this pandemic. And we think that we as mayors and as leaders of our community can be an important part of bringing people together, giving them hope, helping people to focus on the positive things that are happening in our community and ways that we can come back together and be in community again as we see the numbers go down and as we learn and know of ways to keep ourselves safer through this pandemic, you know, ways of being in community again. And we just think that that's really important. And that's been part of what we've talked about. And it's been great to be here with other mayors and really focusing on positive things that we want to be hoping for and achieving in our communities.
Well, we've talked when you've been at this conference in the past, and in recent years, obviously, times were relatively dire. But given the Federal Infrastructure Act and the American Rescue Plan Act investments, are cities in better shape than the last time you attended this conference?
Well, they certainly are in a position to meet the needs of their residents in really impactful ways, and it's really inspiring to see what different cities are doing with their rescue plan funding and the work that they're doing with respect to their communities. I'm really proud of what we've done in Albany. As you know, we've gone through a process that was very much driven by the community, did a lot of outreach, and we are about to be awarding $25 million. 75% of that money is going to go into our communities that have been hardest hit, our lowest income census tracts. We are also going to be getting money out to small businesses, to our hard-hit travel, tourism, entertainment businesses, as well as some really exciting projects and infrastructure projects in the city. So it's wonderful to learn what other communities are doing. And, I also am really proud of what we've done in Albany, and I think that, other communities are learning from us as well.
While you've been in Reno, the New York State legislative session came to a close, at least for now. Were you satisfied with what Albany got from the state legislature this year?
Well, I think that, Senator Breslin and Assembly Members Fahey and McDonald did a great job for the city of Albany. We're going to see, a real study of 787 because of the hard work of Pat Fahey. We're going to see, much needed investment in our communities. And, we passed common sense laws to help keep New Yorkers safe. I thought that Governor Hochul was phenomenal this morning. I was able to watch her speech from here. I wish I could have been there at the bill signing, but I'm really proud of our legislature and the message that we are sending across this country that there are common sense ways that we can keep people safe. And that is what our moral obligation is. And I think the governor said it really well. And I'm just so proud to be a New Yorker.
Okay, so that's the political view. But what about average Americans? For that, I spoke with Tim Malloy, a polling analyst with Quinnipiac University, which, in a new survey, finds 3 out of 4 Americans would support raising the age to buy any gun from 18 to 21. That was one of the standout findings of the poll. We talked about that and some political questions, too.
The headline on this is that we've never done this question. The answer is 3 to 1. People want to raise the minimum age for buying any gun, not just assault weapons, any gun to 21, which I think is significant.
What inspired asking that question this time?
Well, you're a news guy. I mean, just take a look at Buffalo and Uvalde. And of course, we are based in the state where Sandy Hook is, and we've been on this call asking this question for many, many years in a row, 10. So when we saw this, we said it's time to do it again right away.
Now, one thing that sticks out here is that although 3/4 of Americans said, yes, let's raise the age to buy a gun to 21, far fewer in the survey want stricter gun laws, right?
Yeah, it's down to 57% want stricter gun laws. However, that's higher than it was a year ago when it was 45% they wanted stricter gun laws. So there has been movement in that regard. Background checks always been in the 90s. It's a little perplexing as to how many people would want a background check but would want to move on other things. But it's 92% right now. But yeah, actually, it is a fairly significant number that wants stricter gun laws compared to a number a year ago.
And is it fair to guess that the reason for that jump is the horrific violence we've been seeing in this latest rash of mass shootings?
It's been trending this way anyway, but you got to figure, just put on the television or pick up a newspaper or sit down at a kitchen table with your family and friends and talk about this stuff, and you're going to be moved by it. Yeah, I will tell you one thing. You're probably going to ask me this anyway, but what we did find, which was surprising, was that half of Americans, only half, support the nationwide ban on assault weapons. That's the lowest level of support in that way since 2013. Where that came from, I don't know. But once again, it's half and half on banning assault weapons, whereas before it was a little more leaning the other way.
Given the backdrop of the Senate negotiations, which are changing by the day, whether a deal can get done on any sort of new gun reforms, your poll sort of shows why this is happening in fits and starts. I mean, there's some mixed messages here in terms of what the people would actually support.
Again, the gun lobbyists and the NRA, not taking a stand one way or the other here, we don't do that, have stoked a very powerful message for many, many decades. If you take one gun away, you could take all of them away. And that's probably why we believe the assault weapon thing doesn't move much. Maybe in their minds they think this is unconscionable that this kind of horror can be coming to classrooms and grocery stores in Buffalo. But in the end, there may be fear of a tidal wave of taking people's guns away. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Well, let's move on now and talk about some political figures. President Biden has not been doing well in the Quinnipiac poll, and that trend is continuing, right?
Yeah, he has a negative 33-55. In other words, his approval rating is 33%, 55 down. I mean, anything below 40 is troubling, and this has been a small spiral in the last few months after a fairly good start. He was in the 40s at one point, now he's down at 33, and any number of reasons.
How does that compare with where he's been in his public life?
This is the lowest he's ever been. It's plus or minus, when you're looking at the margin of error, this ties lowest ever. So this is a very bad number for the president. And he's not polling well on Russia, gun violence, the economy. Inflation is really what's hurting him right now, is pretty much, because the numbers, the number one concern of Americans right now is inflation. Not guns, not immigration, inflation.
I remember speaking to you during the Trump years, and you had made the point that anytime a president goes under 40, that's a warning sign. So would you say the same is true here for Biden and the Democrats ahead of the midterms?
I'm sure the red lights are flashing everywhere in the White House right now. This is a bad number. It's not that the midterms are sneaking up. They're screaming up soon. So, yeah, this is going to be a tough go at midterm time.
Now, the poll also asked registered voters about which party they would like to see running the House of Representatives in the next Congress. What did you find out?
Pretty much a tie as far as approval rating. But as far as the Republican Party would win out as far as taking control on the minds, the hopes of American voters. However, we asked, when you look into the approval, they're about even. Yeah, they're not popular. It's never a good number when you say, what do you think of your lawmakers? And the same holds down.
In other words, the voters are not thrilled with either party.
It's Republicans over Democrats as far as who would you want to have represent you by a small margin. As far as their approval ratings, they both stink, and they're about even.
And what are some of the top issues voters are thinking about as we do head into this fall election season?
It's inflation first, far and away. Guns, immigration, way down the line now is COVID, Ukraine. They've not vanished, but they have very low numbers compared to these. I mean, inflation is the elephant in the room.
Anything else from this poll that stands out to you that I didn't ask about?
I'll tell you, what's one of the things that I found interesting, I don't even have kids, but 40% of Americans we talked to worry that they will be a victim of a mass killer. And 57% of Americans who have children in schools, 57% of them said they worry that the school where their kid goes to school could get attacked. If that doesn't tell you about the fear that looms right now because of the madness that's gone on in the last year or so, I don't know what does.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.